Today on The Journey.
God has a specific plan for each one of us. He has works planned in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. Numerous passages talk about God's plan just for you individually. How do you determine that plan?
They're snapshots of your life that reveal your spiritual maturity. Those decisions and plans made with God's consultation and without. What do those pictures represent about you and your spiritual condition? Well, today, Ron Moore reveals that overall image from the pages of Scripture and offers solutions for your decision-making errors. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive, is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Making Plans with an Attitude on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and open them to James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. And anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, the first thing that James wants us to know in this passage of Scripture is this: plans made apart from God demonstrate arrogance. Anytime you make a decision apart from God, that is, apart from a prayerful, humble, sincere seeking of God's will, it is pure, prideful, sinful arrogance. Look at the example James gives us in verse 13. Now listen, Christians, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, you'll spend a year there and carry on business and we'll make some money. Look at that verse again. The where, the when, the what, the why are all determined without God in mind. I am going today or tomorrow. The time's up to me. I'll decide when it's time to go. And I'm going to go to the city of my choice. I'll determine where I'm going to go apart from God. And I'll spend a year there. Now, James picked that time period a year because you can't go anyplace for a year and spend that time there without impacting a lot of people, impacting yourself, affecting your family. But I'm going to go do that. I'll spend a year there, and I'll do business while I'm there. I will focus on my work. I'll get up thinking about my work. I'll go to bed thinking about my work. And while I'm there, I'm going to drum up business. Now again, James is writing to Christians. He's painting a picture of a Christian. Many of you here, absorbed, obsessed by what you do. That is your life. Just finished reading the autobiography of Jack Welch, CEO of GE for some 20 years and doesn't claim to be a Christian, at least the way we would understand Christian. And the entire book is about Jack Welch and his business. And he will tell you that it was his business that destroyed his first marriage. But he goes through and talks about getting on a corporate jet and flying here to do business and here to do business. And if it didn't make a profit, they cut it. They were going to be one or two all over the world. And in your department, if you were in the bottom 10% of performance, you were gone. The whole book was about this business, that business, selling this, acquiring this business. Reading now a book by Sam Walton, Made in America, about Walmart. And Sam Walton does say he's a churchgoer. I don't know where his faith in Christ was. But the whole book, again, is about business. He was obsessed with retailing, merchandising. And so his daughter was into horses, and he and his daughter had a deal. He would take her to the horse show. He'd drop her off. He'd go to that town and check out all the stores and what they were doing and get ideas, and he'd come and pick her up and take her home. He says in his book, he thought all the time about retailing. They had Saturday morning meetings in Bentonville, Arkansas. His wife hated him. She said, every Saturday morning you have these meetings that people who work for you can't even go to their kids' games. He said, I know, but it's about business. So what about you? Is it just about doing business? Notice the purpose here. James says, why are you spending all this energy? And why are you spending all this effort? Well, doing it, James says, to make money. That's the purpose. Going to make some money. Going to do this for selfish purposes. Going to make certain that I get what I want out of life. And I don't care who it impacts. I don't care what sacrifices I have to make. But you got to make some money. Is that your purpose in life? Again, all this is apart from God for selfish reasons. Any plan, any endeavor, apart from God, is for selfish purposes. And maybe for you, the focus is not money. Maybe it's for some type of accomplishment or some type of recognition or some type of relationship for acceptance and for companionship. And you will sacrifice a lot of things all apart from God to get what you want. So here's a question. Let's say we could take a snapshot of your life, not in church, but on Thursday afternoon. And you could bring in all the stuff that you'd spent time on that week and all the stuff you'd used your energy on that week, all the stuff in your life, and you gathered it around you, and we take a snapshot of your life. Let me ask you a question. Is God in the picture? Because if He's not, you're doing these things apart from Him, and you're doing them for selfish purposes, and you're doing them for all the wrong reasons. Here's why. Secondly, James tells us that plans made apart from God are made in ignorance. Look at verse 14. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. The most brilliant person here is ignorant of what's going to happen tomorrow. Remember the story that Jesus told of that man who had the great harvest and his barns were overflowing? In Luke chapter 12, he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your very life will be demanded from you. And then who's going to get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. This is what it'll be like for anyone who doesn't have God in the picture. See, none of us have a clue what's going to happen this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow. We know what we're going to plan on. We know what our calendars say. But we don't know what's actually going to take place. And let's just say for a moment, everything we plan takes place. We do what we plan to do. If you live to be 100 and you do all the things you were supposed to do and plan to do, look what James says. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. You're just a mist. We're going to be here for a short time. Then it's over. So he lived to be 100 years. It still doesn't matter. It's quick. It's short. Psalm 90 says this, the length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So are you making plans apart from God? If so, you are making plans in ignorance. Plans made apart from God demonstrate selfishness. They demonstrate ignorance. Thirdly, probably more than anything else, plans made apart from God reveal ignorance. the heart. Look at verse 16. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. When you make plans apart from God, your heart is full of pride. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I can do this. I can do that. I don't need God in the picture. I can figure this out on my own. I know what I need to do. I know the things I need to be involved in. I'm going to do it myself. And we demonstrate our heart, don't we? A heart filled with pride. Tooting our own horn. Singing our own praises. And James says, when we do that, we're doing nothing but what is evil in the sight of God. We're demonstrating who we really are. Boasting and bragging. I read this week an Aesop fable. Talked about two ducks and a frog. And it was time to fly south for a winter, and the frog said, I want to go with you. And the duck said, you're crazy. You can't fly. You don't have any wings. So the frog said, I got this great idea. I want you to take a stick, I want you to put it in your beaks, and I want you to hold it, and I'm going to grab on the middle of it with my mouth, and you fly, and I'll hang on. So that's what they did. They took off, and things were going great, and they flew over this pasture. And two cows looked up and said, look at that. Look at those two intelligent ducks. And the frog couldn't handle it. He said, no, it was my idea. When we live a life of boasting and bragging, me first, selfish, we're going to fall into ruin. Pretty soon we're going to let go of the very thing we need to hang on to the most. When we see our heart of pride, we see a heart diseased. J. Oswald Sander in Spiritual Leadership said this, pride is a sin of whose presence its victim is least conscious. Nothing is more distasteful to God than self-conceit. This first and fundamental sin, in essence, aims at enthroning self at the expense of God. Now look again at verse 15. Here we see a contrast. We see the contrast of a life apart from God, and now we're going to look at a life that has God in the picture. Decisions made with God. Look at verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Plans made with God demonstrate true obedience. The first thing we learn here is this. Plans with God acknowledge God's purpose. If it is the Lord's will. Here's an understanding that you have a unique purpose in life. That God has given you a unique fingerprint and given you a unique plan for your life. You can do what no one else can do. And so the first thing that a person who lives their life with God is to say, I want to find out what that purpose is. I want to do things God's way. I want to do it with God's purpose and not my own. Secondly, in verse 15 we see, if it's God's will live and we'll do this or that. We recognize God's sovereignty. He's the one who controls it all. I am absolutely nothing apart from Him. He is the one who has given me everything. Is that by accident? Absolutely not. God is sovereign in all these things. And the person who is seeking God's will and the person who is living life with God acknowledges that God is sovereign. That's where pride takes a back seat. God is the one who does it, not us. God is the one who brings success, not us. God is sovereign, not us. Thirdly, we see here that plans with God reveal the heart. Let me read this verse again. And you think of one word that you would describe to use this person saying these words. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What's a word you might use to describe that? How about humility? It's up to God, not me. I humble myself before God. If it's His will, I'll do it. If He wants me to live, I'll live. My days are numbered. If he wants me to do this, I'll do this. If he wants me to do that, I'll do that. Whatever he wants me to do, wherever he wants me to go, however long he wants me to stay, I'll do it. Plans reveal a person's heart. Not selfishness, not pride, not arrogance. God is in charge. He knows the past from the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going on. Why would I not want to walk with him? And if we humble ourselves before him and say, God, I'm willing to do it your way. I'm willing to go your way. That's when success and satisfaction take place in life. Now, the subject of God's will has been much talked about. And so let's go through, how do you determine God's will? And the first thing we have to say in determining God's will, there are two types of God's will. One is his general will. One is his specific will. His general will is for all of us. Each of us are all under his general will. And it's very easy to find out what his general will is. You read and study and obey the Word of God. Nothing is hidden. This is the most important step. It's the first step. And so we open God's Word. We want the Bible to be so much a part of our life that we obey God's general will. Now, once we obey his general will, then we can move to his specific will. And his specific will, again, is this. God has a specific plan for each one of us. He has works planned in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. All throughout Scripture, I can name numerous passages that talk about God's plans just for you individually. How do you determine that plan? Six things, very, very basic. Let's just review them. First one is, you read the Word. We read it generally to know what His general will is, but also specifically, reading the Word of God. We want to saturate our lives with the Word of God so that we are in tune to what He's saying, so that specific guidance can be given to us. Reading in His Word. Secondly, obeying His Word. I'm amazed that most people struggle in finding God's specific will when they are not that interested in obeying His general will. And so they spend all this time in prayer and agony and anxiety wondering what God's specific will is for my life, and they're not even obeying His general will. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about a thrust of life. The habits of life are not anywhere in line with what He has for us as believers, as followers of Christ. Want to know God's specific will, but God, your general will, forget it. I want to know what you have for me. So don't spend time in anxiety regarding God's specific will when you're not willing to obey His general will. So reading the Word, obeying the Word, prayer. Not praying for writing in the sky, not a ridiculous request like, Lord, if the phone rings tomorrow at 9:21, then I'll know that I'm supposed to do this. Remember, there was only one time a fleece was put out in Scripture. That was by Gideon in Judges. That's not the norm of Scripture. That's only one time. Don't take something that happens in Scripture once and use this as the norm. But prayer. Praying for peace. That this is the right thing to do, no matter what the circumstances are. Pray for peace that says yes. Next, know yourself. Know who you are. Know what your gifts are. Know what you have a passion for. Know what keeps you up at night. Know what wakes you up early in the morning. Know what experiences you have had. God is sovereign over them all. He's the one that gave you that specific thing that you like to do. He's the one that gave you that gift where you like to teach or you like to be with people or you are very analytical. He did that. Think about what you enjoy. Think about the experiences you've had. And that helps you determine God's will. Next, know your situation. If you're married, now you have a partnership. And if you say, God, I know this is what you want me to do, but your wife says, I'm pretty sure it's not, then you got some issues to deal with, right? And until that partnership's ready to go, then you're not ready to go. You have committed, haven't you, to love each other sacrificially? And that may mean waiting till God works on your spouse's heart or your heart. But you better know your situation. Know that your situation is going to impact not only your wife, but impact your children. Going to impact them for the rest of their lives. Know your situation. Finally, read the Word, obey the Word, prayer, know yourself, know your situation, and get godly counsel. Proverbs says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 20:18, make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. Find people you can trust and don't wait till you have a decision to make. Find them now. Get them involved in your life now so they know you. And then when you have that decision, you can call them and you can pray with them. People who have been around the block a couple times. Get those people in your life, counselors to help you out. You got to have those people in your life. So you see, determining God's will is not some mystical thing. It's very practical. It means, first of all, being willing to obey God in His revealed or general will. And then it means to read God's Word, to obey, to spend time in prayer, to know yourself, to know your situation, and to make sure you're surrounded with those who will tell you not what you want to hear, but who will give you godly counsel.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Today I want to address every man, young or old, every father, every grandfather, every future father. And I pray that God instills in our hearts today a sense of urgency because there's so much at stake. Today we're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to talk about the most important aspect of leadership, self-leadership. Because if you can't lead yourself, then you have no business leading anyone else. James is exhorting us to put every area of our life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just the areas we find convenient, not just the areas that don't seem to interfere with the rest of our life, but submit your whole being to God. Today I want to go through this passage and see five exhortations, five pieces of evaluation for every man here. Everyone who is a father, everyone who has raised their kids and now in that critical role of being a grandfather, and every one of you who one day plan to be a father.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we want to invite Pittsburgh area parents and youth leaders to join us at the Bible Chapel on Saturday, March 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll dive into the heart of parenting and what it looks like to raise a generation driven by technology and social media. It's the Bible Chapel's first relevant parenting conference titled Together, Raising a Social Media Generation. In addition to the ins and outs of social media, you'll learn from FBI agents who are experts in cyber threats. You'll hear from parent and student panels about their personal experiences in raising a social media and tech generation. Though our pre-registration period has ended, walk-up registration will still be accepted at the door. Unfortunately, if you didn't pre-register, childcare and packets of free resources will not be available. Visit BibleChapel.org for more information. That's BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.